Let's pray together. Father, do ask that you'll now speak your words to us. Motivate us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do be seated. I don't know if any of you have heard of Willow Creek. Has anybody heard of Willow Creek? Willow Creek is Willow Creek is a church in Chicago, and it started off in around 1975 with just a handful of people. But they were people captivated by the vision of church as portrayed in the Acts of the Apostles. And so their church started to grow. Today there are 20,000 members of Willow Creek in 6 regional campuses. However, the church has experienced growth even more impressive than Willow Creek before. Today is, as we've heard, when we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Pentecost was the day on which the church first started to grow rapidly. So in today's reading, if you take a look, Acts chapter 1, verse 15, we see that the number of believers after Jesus ascended to heaven started off at around 120. But by the end of Acts chapter 2, another 3,000 people have been added to their number. By the time we get to chapter 4, verse 4, it's just a few days or a few weeks later, the number of male believers alone has grown to 5,000. And as we keep on reading through the book of Acts, the number just keeps on growing and growing. Given such impressive statistics, you might be expecting me this morning to give a talk on church growth. I'm actually going to play devil's advocate this morning and do the complete opposite. I'm going to talk about how not to grow a church. How not to grow a church. And we can pick up some great lessons about how not to grow a church from this Bible reading on page 1092. It would help me if you had that passage open. So how not to grow a church? Well, we simply do the opposite of what we see the first followers of Jesus doing in these verses. How not to grow a church? The first way is don't pray. Don't pray. That's my first heading. In Acts chapter 1 verse 12, the followers of Jesus return from seeing him ascend into heaven. Now Jesus has asked them back in verses 4 and 5 to remain in Jerusalem and to wait for a few days. To wait until they're baptized with the Holy Spirit and empowered to do mission. So how do they spend these few days waiting? Well, think about how they could have spent it. They could have just taken it easy. They'd had a bit of a busy time. They could have gone to the golf course, down to the Jerusalem Bowling Club. But no, they didn't. They spent their time praying. And notice it's not just a token prayer either before they head off to the Jerusalem Arms for a nice pint and a pleasant evening. Look at verse 14. They pray constantly. And neither is it just the real keenies who pray, you know, the super spiritual types. No, verse 14 tells us they all joined together, constantly in prayer. That's all. Every one of them turned up to the first ever church prayer meeting. So these first followers of Jesus are getting ready for the amazing church growth that's about to come, and they get ready by praying. Because that's the sort of thing God does when the church prays in accordance with his will. He grows the church. So how not to grow a church? Quite straightforward. Let's cut out the prayer. Make sure you never turn up to a church prayer meeting. Certainly don't pray at home. Otherwise, God might hear our prayers and answer, and the church might end up growing. There are many good excuses to avoid prayer, of course. The top of the list is to say that we're too busy. What about everything else I'm involved in? There's simply no time to fit in the prayer. Or we could say that prayer is awkward. And surely it's the rector's job, not mine. Verse 14 tells us everybody got involved in prayer. And not just a little prayer, but a lot of prayer. They didn't think it was just the apostles' job to pray, but everybody. So the best way to prevent church growth is don't pray. The second way to prevent church growth is don't seek God's guidance, but but instead pursue your own agenda. Don't seek God's guidance, but instead pursue your own agenda. The followers of Jesus are there waiting for the action of Pentecost to begin. And they're not only praying during that time, they're seeking God's guidance in their prayer and in their church meetings. In verse 15, Peter stands up and relates the sad tale of Judas. And we'll see what he says in a minute, but let's just look at what happens with Judas. Because Judas was a great example of someone who did not seek God's guidance, but he rigidly pursued his own agenda. He didn't like what Jesus was saying. Perhaps it didn't fit into the way he thought things should be done at church. He thought he knew better than Jesus as to how the kingdom should look and how it should be established. And so he rebelled. So much so he actually ended up betraying Jesus. I don't know, maybe Judas actually thought he was acting for the best. Maybe the way Jesus led his followers simply wound him up. But whatever, Judas was not having it. And he rebelled. He arranged to hand Jesus over to his enemies. So Judas is a great example of somebody trying to prevent the work of God. So don't seek God's guidance. Instead, pursue your own agenda. But this point actually comes with a public health warning. See, unfortunately for Judas, his plans did not work out. Firstly, he unwittingly provided the means for Jesus to complete his work of dying on the cross. And by dying on the cross, Jesus enabled people across the world to be saved and so grow the church. So Jesus often does continue his work in spite of our efforts to prevent him. But unfortunately, also for Judas, he ended up committing suicide in a field. And in verse 18, we read his body burst open and his intestines spilt out. So we must be careful when we resist God's work and follow our own agenda. Judas ended up dying under God's anger and judgment. And verse 25, Peter describes Judas as going to the place where he belongs. That's the risk we take when we work against God's will. So trying to resist church growth can be a dangerous business. But let's look at Peter, because Peter, on the other hand, sees the importance of listening to God's direction. He leads the church by seeking God's will, and we see that here, don't we? Take a look at verse 23. Peter says it's necessary to choose a replacement for Judas. And they discuss the criteria for the replacement. In verse 23, they propose two candidates, Joseph and Matthias. But they don't just then take a vote. They seek God's guidance, again in prayer, as to which is the right person. As I say, the apostles could have spent their days and nights enjoying the sights and sounds of Jerusalem, but they did not. They prayed to God, they planned for mission, and in doing so, they sought God's guidance. So how not to grow the church surely means doing the opposite of Peter and the apostles. Don't seek God's guidance, but instead pursue your own agenda. So fill other stuff. Fill your time with other stuff. Don't volunteer to help out with any church activities. Certainly don't bother turning up to the summer fair. Don't make any plans for how to grow the church. Don't seek God's guidance in doing so. Or maybe you could come up with your own plan as how you think church should look like and ignore what the Bible says. Well, just be careful you don't end up like Judas, who's now in hell for resisting God's way and pursuing his own agenda. The next tip to not growing the church is don't rely upon the Holy Spirit. Don't rely upon the Holy Spirit. That is, of course, what those first 120 followers were doing. They were waiting to be empowered from on high to do mission. They knew that unless God clothed them from on high, their efforts would just come to nothing. As we heard at the start of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost did come, God equipped them as he poured out his Spirit. Let me illustrate this with the story of two churches, both which suddenly felt the call to do mission. to seriously share the good news of Jesus in the neighbourhood. The first church dove ahead and they bought a new property in the heart of their expanding village and started up a service. They did a leaflet drop to advertise. But then they were disappointed. No one turned up. Well, they jumped ahead with no prayer and no seeking God's guidance and no relying on the Spirit. The second church, however, didn't jump into anything. They had a week of prayer. They sought God's guidance. They assessed the possibilities and laid them before the Lord, committing it to his direction. Not indefinitely, there was no procrastination. But they waited upon the Lord's direction and relied upon the Spirit's enabling. And then they realised that a drop-in centre was the way God was calling them to build his kingdom. Sure enough, by doing that, they got to know more people in the community with whom they were able to share God's love. Now, I'm not saying that's what we should be doing here in Elmswell. My point is simply, well, in Acts 1, we see the apostles being commissioned by Jesus and then told to wait upon the Holy Spirit. They could have just jumped ahead with both feet, but Jesus said, wait, and so they waited, praying as they waited for the Spirit's equipping. You see, it is so easy, isn't it, to just run off and do things in our own strength. But as Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So if we actually don't want the church to grow, well, then we just need to rely upon our own strength and not upon the Holy Spirit. I got a bit excited as I was preparing the sermon. I started looking ahead into the next chapters of Acts. And I thought, I'm just going to share with you three other headings. I won't look at them in detail, but we could add these to how not to grow the church as we look ahead into how Acts proceeds. We could add, for example, don't preach sermons that open up the Bible. As we'll see next week, that's what Peter does. He preaches an incredible sermon from Joel. And as he does so, 3,000 people are added to the church's numbers. That's an incredible sermon. We could add, don't be generous with what we have. At the end of chapter 2 and in chapter 4, we see the early believers sharing what they have. They finance the needs of the church, they look after the poor, and as a result it grows. So in order to not grow a church, well, then we need to be miserly. Don't be generous with what we have. Finally, we could add, don't share the workload. In chapter 6, the apostles realise they cannot do everything. They must share the workload out amongst others in the church. And research indicates that when churches go for shared ministry, they grow as everybody mucks in according to their gifts. So we could add, in order to not grow the church, don't share out the workload. Let's go back to our three points which we're focusing on this morning. And I'm going to stop playing devil's advocate. Let's reverse them to be positive. You see, if we really do want the church here in Elmswell to grow, well, then we must follow the example of the first believers. We must do the reverse of these points. We must pray. We must take prayer seriously, because prayer works. Secondly, we do need to seek God's guidance as we pray. We need to seek out his purposes for us. And we might discover that actually our own agenda is a bit rubbish. We might actually find that church has to be in a way that we're not quite comfortable with, because Christ has plans for it. It might mean change for us, but who are we to resist God's will? Judas resisted, and look where he ended up. And then we need not only to seek out what the Lord's will is, but rely upon the Holy Spirit. Our aim must be to work in the power of the Spirit, by sharing the message, by sharing our money, our time, our talents, prayerfully working together to continue the work of Jesus in this task of growing his kingdom, growing his church. Rely on the Holy Spirit, and God's kingdom will be extended. These opening chapters of Acts are really so exciting, full of God working through ordinary people by his Holy Spirit, growing his church, enabling people to become Christians. So friends, let's commit ourselves to God in prayer, in seeking his will and guidance, in opening up ourselves to his Spirit. Because as we share the gospel in word and deed, then we will see God build his house. Let's pause for a moment. Ask God to fill us with his Spirit anew, and then I'll pray. Holy Spirit, as those first Christians were shaken by you coming in power upon them, we pray that your Spirit might really take root in our lives. We ask you to fill us with his presence. We ask, Spirit, for you to work in us, changing our lives for the better. And as Christ's body here in Elmswell, may we do your work of sharing your great love, the good news of Jesus, with our community, so that our community can know life to the full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.